Well, I ask you, what would you like? Any questions? Or suppose you have got to a foreign land. When you leave your country, you want to leave the country and go to some foreign land. What you do? Generally, you open the directories to see what are the means to reach there, how we go, where to stay, where not to stay. Suppose you go to a place where you do not know their language, what will you do? How much money would you require? You see, what things are required to be taken along with us? All these things you consider. You turn up your directories. This information is given in the directories, of course, but they don't speak. You may, by going through and through, you might one thing here, the other on the 10th page, the other on the 50th page. So while searching for the in the directories, somebody comes up to you and says, well, look here, you want to go to that place? Yes. Here's the man who will come from that place. What will he do? He will close the directories and run up to him. Why? It is but natural. Scriptures tell us, who know God, sit at his feet. Read it through, you'll find that's the same thing. And many things are not clear. The books are not written in a graduated way, I tell you. Some references here, some there, some like that, some are given in the form of parables, some direct. But you don't find at one place the whole thing explained. The way you are now explained is not put in there like that. So naturally, you have to run up to that man. When you go up to him, he says, oh yes, I have been that place. You want to go there? Yes. He puts question, oh yes, such and such place you can go. You can stop there on the way, you'll have food like that. This is so many things. He is now convinced that that man has seen it. But he's not going back. And next week he hears that very man is going back to that very place from which he has come and to which he wants to go. He goes, will you take me along with you? Yes, most likely. How confident he feels, naturally. He has nothing to worry, where to go, where I will stop, what will be. Because that man knows he has been that place. Similarly, I read almost in this question, I read scriptures. You see. First of all, in the family in which I was born, that is a very big treasure house, I would say, the six scriptures that comprise a page about 1400 pages, big size. And the beauty is that you have got findings of so many God-men together. The oldest scripture of the world is called Vedas. Vedas include sayings, findings of many rishis, not one. And later on, whoever came, you find their scriptures give only that much what that particular was said. Although they are parallel, I'm just telling you the beauty. So the latest scripture is of the six, the 400 years back. That contains as many masters' findings as could be possible at the time. So it was Guru Arjan who collected all these things. Are the four masters behind. He was the fifth one, you see, in the reign of Guru Nanak. And Guru Nanak was a contemporary of Kabir for 48 years. recollected all, added his own. About half he collected and half he added of his own. He's a very good God-inspired person. He said, I and my father are one. Pita Putra Kinsane. Father and son had been dyed in the same color. You see. They have formed an alliance. That's like saying he's God. Then he left some pages and closed the book with concluding the entire. He said, yeah, here's this something. It is a divinity, this is a reservoir of divinity. The more you go into, you find priceless jewels, you see. And left 10 pages, or some pages, blank. People ask me, why are you doing that? He says, here the 9th Guru will follow me. His things are to be recorded. And the one couplet is of the 10th Guru too, there. One couplet. So that are the latest scriptures. The oldest scripture of the world and the latest contains things have so many masses together. There's a banquet hall of spirituality. So then, naturally, I was led to other scriptures. I was reading in a missionary school. So I was in touch with the missionary teaching. But what they said, I did not follow, though the things appeared to be very clear to me. Perhaps those who were preaching, they were not so clear to them. They said, you be born in Christ, you must be born in Christ. And I said, how can a man be born in a man? Come and see. The God is light. And they said, well, intellectual God, give us intellect to understand you. These are the. Then I read other scriptures, one other Mohammedan scriptures, Hindu scriptures, to the best I could lay hands on. All said the same thing. There is a God, you want to see God, well, sit at the feet of somebody who has seen God. Not only has seen God, but is competent to make us see God. That you find in Christ. See? Son knows the Father and others whom the Son reveals. Sonship continues. So, all Mormon literature, scripture, tell the same thing. You must find some means to reach God. On all of us. Hindu scriptures are full of them. So you will find that thing. Not even I looked all around, you see. There are so many masters to whom to go. With three brothers. So two brothers, you see, we just helped each other. If you find any God man, you tell me. If I find, I will tell you. There will be research. Once somebody, so many men were meeting like that. Once it so happened, he wrote to me, well, here's a very great man, very great master has come, will you come? I went over there. I told him, I have got intoxication. That continued day and night. But sometimes after 3, 4, 5 months that breaks for a day or two and I'm very much puzzled. Can you help me in that? What did he say? Well, you will have to lay down everything, your body, mind and soul to me. Only then I can find you. I thought, the man without my body and possession and my intellect, everything, to be blindfolded. I paid him homage and returned. Well, you see, surrender comes only where you see some competence. Devotion, you see, love, one who loves, that is something else. When you surrender, you have a control of the one to whom you surrender. He has to take care of you. So many came in past, you see. I used to see one who was very, intoxicated, God intoxicated. But he lived in a way that nobody dared to come to him. We used to meet all our friends in the evening, outside. We were talking, is there any Godman we can find, you see? Then I told him that I have seen one man, he is God intoxicated, but it is... he's a hard nut to crack. Some you find God in touch, they won't let you go near him, you see. You have the privilege to talk, question, cross-question, criticize. He would not suffer. Then I told him, hey, that man about whom our master also used to have, he also meet him. His name was Baba Khan. He was lived in a naked state, he was known. No, you see, here the fire is burning, here that made felt, you see. When he was there, heat, he was just fanning the other, you see. I told him, he's got some intoxication, you see. Anybody that would go to him, he will call names. If they don't do it, then he will beat them. But there was something. He would call names, people still would remain there. Sometimes they have a beating too. But with whatever purpose they went, that purpose was served. You see, they had it. So I was reading in those days in the school. I also used to go there. He was just in a half naked way, he was sitting just platform here. I used to stand over there. Watching people, he's calling names, going away, they say. I kept on unless everybody cleared. Then he would call me, well, Osada, what you want? I went to him. All right, I came to only to see you. All right, go. That's how I had that connection with him. So I told that man, well, he has got something, but it is very hard not to crack mine. Nobody suffers, you see. This is a very valuable thing. Who is going to leave you? When all he had to do, I told him, well, go and sit at night with him. Even if he says anything, call it, don't mind. You see? He went that night, he stayed there. After 11 o'clock at 12, he called names. He also beat him with the fist. He ran away. Next day we met together again, our party. I said, how did you find? Oh, he called me names, he fisted me too. No, don't mind, he's got something. Then what to do? I don't mind, go. Next night again he went there. Then next day when he went there, instead of beating only, he took that burning wood, you see, stuck it. Then he came. So the next day he didn't struggle with him, but next day he just put him underneath. Well, he chiropractors working. Again he went back on the third day. I asked him, what happened? Oh yes, but don't mind, he has got something. He's guarding his that wealth. He would not let you have it. Don't mind, but let him kill you, don't mind. Third night also he went there. What he did, as I told you, with the burning wood, and then made a little wound there. He did not leave him. At the midnight after 1 o'clock. What you want after a while, you mean, coming to me? He said, well, give me something. Then he made him to hear the sound correct. Some people have got it, you see. They keep it very close fisted, they don't do it. Well, so this went on like that. I used to pray, what? Oh God, I am convinced, without one who knows you, nobody can reach you. It is a practical matter of self-analysis. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the vital layers of intellect. It is a matter of seeing who sees, he can make you see. Well, I know there's a need, definitely all scriptures say. I'm quite convinced, but where to go? Suppose I go to somebody, he has not met you, what will be my fate? I used to pray like that. If you could reveal yourself to the old saints, sometimes there are stories like that, why can't you do in my case? I'm convinced, I have great regard for such things. But there are so many masters there, whom to select. With this, well, my master began to appear to me. When he sat in meditation, I was doing something. So I thought perhaps it was Guru Nanak. He used to talk to me, he would, that in those days there was a great war, first great war. My brother was just in the front, in that field area, from India to Persia, Syria. I used to traverse along with him, went to those places, here, there. So I was very fond of rivers, ponds, water. So even while in my young life, I used to go sit by waterside or some river the whole night together. There's a calm and quiet place, one running water, little concentration helps. So this went on for that. In the meantime, first I was at Peshawar, then it also to one Noshara station is there. That is the river they are running. I used to sit by that riverside for hours. Then I came to Jhelum side, that is also by the riverside. For hours together, I was very fond of swimming too, you see. Just in wine manner, just enter this river. If you are not afraid of it, it is only fear that kills you. Simply, little heat, feet, what you might shake or hands little, you move, you don't drown. You're not drowned. And in the meantime, I was also to Lahore. That was also riverside. I passed my day. Once I heard there's also river Bias, let me have it. Look at that, you see. One Sunday morning, I left by train, detained at Bias station. There was an old man, he was a station master of the station. I asked him which side the river flows. He was a devotee of the master. Do you want to see the master? But that's that the master lives there. Yes. Oh yeah. On the river side. So I will have two things now. I'll also enjoy the river scenery and also see the master. Saint Ode. Then he directed me there. So master was sitting upstairs, you're taking meals inside. I went outside. After half an hour or so, he came out. I understand, he's the same man who was appearing to me 7 years before, from 1917 to 1924. I wonder, sir, I paid homage to him. Why so late? I said, he said that was the most opportune time that you took him. So I met you, Master, you see. So God, Guru appears on the chill as at the end of the most skeptic mind. Perhaps None of you have been so skeptic as I was. I was afraid. Lest I go to somebody who has not met God, my life may have expired, you see. Well, then I went to England once or twice every Sunday to go. He was looking after me like a father looks after his son coming in. He would just, all right, arrange this room, bring this bedding, this and that. Very interesting, old master. You don't worry. I'm here at your feet. All right, now you'll have to look after this dinner. Go on with it. Those who come, you look after them. This is the word he says, the very first day. So next time when he went there, initiation, this is very February time, this year, month. All were sitting in initiation. Master, you sit inside. I was coming. He gave initiation there. I was inside, sitting in his room. How I was initiated. I was waiting for him, for him to call me or what. I could not there because he did not call me there. I was sitting inside. Then he turned. I asked him, will you kindly initiate? Oh, yes, surely. Well, what it was, that mystery of life, what is a man, what is a soul, that is a solve in little no time. So qualification of a master is given like that, who can give you some experience. To say, all right, go, you see, here, maps, to show, go by this order, turn right, then left, this and that, sometimes you have to hunt for hours if you do not find the way. The master who can give you some experience to start with, who can appear, who can remove the dark way by giving you sitting, and you testify it is so. You are not to wait till after death or after years. In the other time you are to go on, you will have it in due course. And most of the people you find them. Or else they don't have regular some meditation. Some years from the past might help you. But the competency of the master lies in the fact that he is able, competent to give experience to the learned or the unlearned, that quite a man from the street. Yes? It so happened there was some controversy, see, when he, our master, became the master, took up the role of the master, I mean. He was a master, but he took up the role of the master. The other people were simply said, why you? How can you become a master? He was very polite, very humble, you see. Never controversy, would like to go into controversy. After when they get so far into it, because all right, do it, tell some five, six people from the street, make them sit, you give them. I also catch find, see who can carry them. That's our ultimate goal, what to do. So how I met the master, you see. So I generally, people ask me, what is your date of birth? I tell them, I got three birth dates, you see. First, I was born in the flesh. Second, when I met him inside, 7 years before. And third, when I met him physically. So these are the gifts of God, you see. So I was very afraid of, you see. Generally you'll find master, they'll simply tell you, all right, go on reading scriptures. Well, that's right, that's possible. You cannot have the right import of the scriptures unless you meet somebody who has that experience. He alone can be able to give you an experience, give you right understanding, right import of the scriptures. Because what are scriptures? They have the fine record of the experiences of the masters they had in their life. Then perform one ritual or this, that's all right for preparation of the ground. But seeing is something else that only arises when you analyze yourself, you rise above body consciousness, and you testify this light. And also you define, you can make that music of the spheres audible. Who is a man? Who can give you lighted music of the spheres? What are these two? These are the two aspects of the God into expression power. God has no equal, no father, no mother, nothing of the sort. So who is world personified, only he can be giving experience of that the very first day. In the blind man, they want that inner eye, what is called the single eye, in scripture status, that if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. When you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you'll see the light of heaven. That is called the third eye, or the single eye, or the latent eye, achieved in so many names. So these are the basic teachings, ultimate, I mean, that give you contact with that reality. Philosophies deal with theories. This is what is called mysticism. It gives you contact with reality, that reality into expression. Psychology works at the level of intellect. They do not work at the level of intellect, but when intellect is stilled, you're intellectually still, only then. And that you have two, a subject and object. And in this no duality, you just direct contact with God into expression power. The more you are unattached from outside, the more your ethical way of living, you see, the more you come in contact with that, and where that is, you see, it is like electric lift, you see, they take you to the place from where they emanated. God, when it came into expression, from the worldless state, that had light and sound. And the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. At whom so that human pole, that power, that we call the God power, or the Master power, or the Guru power, that it is referred to as the Christ power. You see? Christ lived before Jesus, mind that. And he is forever. This is what John says, St. John. But we read only scriptures like, but you say, ruminate over them, we don't follow what they want. Once man starts with a wrong thing, the other follow him like blindly, like that. How many there who can give you first an experience? Some may already go on meditating, some may get, others may not get. That's a competency, the God in him, not the Son of Man, you see. Our master, somebody asked our master, well, why, how should we address you? He says, take me as your brother, as your father, as your friend, as your teacher. That's act up to what I say. Sit down. When you rise above, you find him inside too, and there he is also competent to guide. Then you may call me by any name you like. So, all masters say, take to the feet of such a person, you see, human body, that God power at whose pole it works, who can guide you while in body and also when you transcend this physical body and also astral body and causal body. The first condition, I will say, of a master, when he meets another master, you see, he will embrace, he will rejoice. There's no question high and low. I had one instance in my life, my master, Baba Samsi, he met one follower of Rai Salagam, I tell you, Shivatla. He's a very advanced form, you see. In the first meeting when they met, I was there along with them. He was bowing down to my master, and my master was bowing down to him. They are embracing. But those on the way, why should they not embrace? How, why should they not feel joy?
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk called How I Met My Master. It was given on January 24, 1964 in Washington, D.C. Our reader this evening is Sheila Gilmore. Hello, Sheila.
Good evening. I'm reading from The Night is a Jungle, the chapter on chastity and forgiveness, chapter 9. And I'm picking up in my book on page 214 where I left off last time at the top. Christ was asked as to what should be the code of conduct in life. On inquiring about the injunction of Moses in this regard, he was told, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. At this, Christ remarked, it was because your hearts were hardened that he gave you this injunction. When asked to express his own opinion, Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself. When further asked how enemies should be dealt with, he replied, love thine enemies. Jealousy, malice, calumny, which is trying to ruin somebody's reputation, backbiting, falsehood, and fraud can be overcome by love. Unless these vices are given up, there is no way out. Even good preachers and reformers are found wanting in chastity and forgiveness. They indulge in recrimination, falsehood, fraud, hypocrisy, etc. What is wanted is cultivation of forgiveness. If we develop childlike qualities, we can reach our goal. Now let us listen to what Sant Kabir has to say about purity of life. When chastity and forgiveness sprout in one's heart, the invisible Lord becomes visible. Without chastity, one cannot reach him. Empty words are of no avail. Kabir says in very clear words that chastity and forgiveness are the two prerequisites for God realization. Without purity of life, all sermons or learning are of no use. Chastity means purity of thoughts, words, and deeds. Chastity is life, and self-indulgence is death. Forgiveness is difficult to practice. Outwardly, we pretend to be humble, but inwardly, we do not hesitate to harm others. I remember an incident in my life. Long ago, my wife was relieved of her purse at a railway station. The police caught the thief and the purse was recovered from him. I was asked to lodge a report at the police station. I told the police it was unnecessary as the purse had been found. But on their insistence, I had to go to the police station, perhaps for the first time ever. I told the officer on duty that I was not interested in reporting the matter, but he would not agree, and the report was ultimately lodged. Later, I had to go to the court as a witness. The police officer talked to me on this issue. He felt that justice must be done, but I contended that there were two aspects of the law. One, justice, and the other, compassion or mercy. I emphasized that even after justice had been done, bitterness would remain, whereas through mercy he could be forgiven. Compassion leads to mercy, which in turn leads to nonviolence in thoughts, words, and deeds. Anyway, when I appeared in the court, I requested the magistrate that if he could let the accused off on some ground, I would have no objection. The magistrate, after satisfying himself that there was no other record of previous conviction against the accused, ordered his discharge with a warning. As a result, the accused and his relatives always remained grateful to me What a tremendous effect forgiveness has. Justice could never produce this effect. Forgiveness is the greatest of all virtues. So is purity of thought. But alas, all our time is spent in tensions and petty squabbles. We find it difficult to pardon others. Remember, only a brave man can forgive others, not a weak person. Indirectly, we remain busy in condemning our opponents. Such persons can never realize God. All learning and religious pursuits are of little significance unless the qualities of chastity and forgiveness are thoroughly understood and cultivated in life. Because of these two virtues in children, saints always have a great love for them. God does not dwell in the skies, but is within us. Unless proper background is developed, spiritual advancement is not possible. Kabir now explains in greater detail what chastity is. One who is chaste is the greatest of all and is a storehouse of all virtues. Chastity is the main source of all virtues. It is rare to come across a really chaste person. Nearness to such a pure soul produces a soothing effect, and even his reflection causes awakening. It is not an exaggeration. By virtue of ethical life, the body of a celibate is charged with the divine grace, tranquility, and fragrance. Chastity is thus a great blessing. Chastity brings all the treasures of the three worlds, physical, astral, and causal. You may ask as to what should married persons do. In olden days in India, people used to observe continence for the first 25 years. Thereafter, having assimilated religious scriptures, they would settle down as householders for another 25 years. Having got one or two children, they would leave their homes to enter Vanaprastha ashram for another period of 25 years, during which they would devote themselves to achieving the ultimate goal of life, realization of self and God. After reaching the goal in Vanaprastha ashram, they would become sannyasis, those who renounce the world completely and wander from place to place to preach religion. The real significance of marriage is to have a life partner who will stand by you under all circumstances, in pleasure and pain, in riches and poverty. Both should cooperate in striving to realize God. To go on producing children is not our aim. If a woman has to give birth, she should bear a saint or a philanthropist or a great warrior. Otherwise, it is better if she remains barren and does not waste the divine light. Our forefathers generally used to lead more disciplined lives, but now there is little restraint. I have to say this because of the deplorable condition in which we are. The world population is increasing at an alarming rate of 90 a minute. We can well imagine the population problem after 20 or 30 years. So it is all the more necessary for us to cultivate continence. St. Paul has said, "Husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church." Swami Ram Tirath has also emphasized, "Unless husbands and wives love each other as brothers and sisters, there is no hope for India." Those who are awakened say so. The solution thus lies in leading a life of self-restraint. Even if a person is able to find a perfect saint who can give the disciple a first-hand spiritual experience, progress on the spiritual path is impossible unless we practice chastity and forgiveness. We should therefore forget the past and start leading a clean life from now on. There is no dearth of scholars, religious, and disciplined people, but we seldom come across a really chaste person. Kabir says that there are countless learned men, those who meditate and achieve concentration, and those who are benevolent and disciplined, but a celibate is rarely found. I have come into contact with the heads of almost all religions, but only a few lead a life of celibacy. A celibate can reach his real goal without making much effort. One who practices both forgiveness and chastity has nothing to worry about and will realize God. Let me give my grandfather's example. He was a clean-hearted man. He would not nurse any grievance against anyone. He became a widower at the age of 25. He never married again, although he lived for more than 100 years. A day before his death, he told some people that he would be leaving the world the next day, and if they wanted to convey any message to their dear ones in heaven, they might let him know. Just before his end, some of his relations asked him to utter the name of God, but he said that God is permeating throughout my body and I'm going straight to him. I'm talking of chaste ones. Such people have an innate feeling about the presence of God. The Gurbani pointedly tells us, those who have complete faith in God, they enjoy the quintessence of true knowledge. You may go on meditating all through your life, but unless you practice chastity and forgiveness, it will not bear any fruit. Anger causes excitement. Most of our ills are psychosomatic, being the result of emotional disturbances caused by hatred, animosity, and worry. Saints always lay stress on the basic essentials of life, but alas, we do not pay heed to them. Chastity is the ocean of happiness. None can fathom its depth. Without the word, none can be called a sadhu, a disciplined soul. Without capital, there cannot be a moneylender. Kabir says that chastity is the ocean of happiness. It is so deep that none can measure its depth. But only the word personified saints can realize it. The word will become manifest where there is a life of continence. Nanak says, one who loses semen loses everything. A person who practices celibacy and forgiveness can realize God and can truly be called a sadhu. These two virtues are of prime importance, and wherever these exist, other virtues come in of their own accord. Such a person, by constant contact with the inner sound current, the shabd, becomes a storehouse of all virtues. One who has found a master but has not become his mouthpiece or gurumukh has not yet freed himself from lusts of the flesh. After having found a master, one must develop receptivity towards him. Who is a gurumukh? One who has no wish of his own and lives in the will of the master. Such a person is automatically relieved of all sorts of passions. As the master is an embodiment of chastity, chastity radiates from him and penetrates into the disciple the moment he thinks of him. He is full of compassion and forgives all. Only a gurumukh can escape from all kinds of indulgences, since he abides in the word of the master. Christ told his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Hazur Sawan Singh Ji used to say, "We hesitate to commit an impious act in the presence of a child, Don't we know that God within us is all-seeing? The Master is an embodiment of the Word and gives us a contact with it. By listening to the eternal music and seeing the divine light, one gets inner peace. Gurbani assures us, mind gets docile by communion with Nam. The Upanishad states that by attaining the Word, we attain all. So long as man has animal passions, he cannot be a Guru Mukh. When the Satguru resides within, the disciple is free from lust. As you think, so you become. If your mind constantly dwells on a chaste person, you will unconsciously attract and imbibe chastity. Kabir says that one who becomes a Satguru incarnate will automatically rid himself of all desires. In the first place comes his sweet remembrance. The next is his manifestation within. One should therefore exercise great caution in adopting a master. If he is really an adept in the science of soul, you can achieve salvation. Otherwise, if you concentrate on the form of a so-called guru, you may at the most become like him. You might have heard of Dadu Sahib. One day he was going bareheaded. Someone, knocking him on the head, inquired, "Where is Dadu's house?" He replied, "Go this way and you will find him inside the house." To his consternation, he found the same man, Dadu, sitting in the house. The visitor felt ashamed when he realized that he had insulted the saint. Dadu Sahib said it did not matter, since even an earthenware pot of insignificant value is purchased after the buyer has made sure of its serviceability by knocking it all over. A master should be chosen after thoughtful consideration, just as water should be taken after filtration. A perfect master is a rarity. The world is full of so-called gurus, while there are only a few really competent masters. Such masters alone are described in the Vedas and other scriptures as sages, saints, and great souls, for they are word personified. Christ says, "Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." The Gurbani further tells us, "He who can give you a first-hand experience of the divine light and celestial sound is a true master. Through association with a saint, the power of God becomes manifest within. A saint bestows the essence of esoteric science." Anyone can lecture, sermonize, or give a religious talk, but practical inner experience can be given only by an awakened soul. Only an alert and wide-awake person can practice chastity. The thieves of sensual desires cannot rob such a person. It is only an alert and conscious person who can cultivate chastity and can attain higher consciousness. By practicing chastity, one gradually rises into cosmic consciousness. When consciousness dawns within, one is not troubled by the sensual thieves. We are being robbed by five deadly passions. In the absence of chastity and forgiveness, a thick wall of darkness comes over the soul, and we are not our own. Christ has described this state as death of the soul. What is the death of the soul? It is the bedimming of the light consciousness in us. Attachment to material comforts lowers our consciousness. Consciousness increases with increasing awareness. Where does this awareness come from? It comes by cultivating compassion and chastity. See how important these virtues are? But we do not pay attention to them. We've already been blessed with His grace and also with the capital of Holy Nam. Is it not our duty then to safeguard our capital? We should keep His commandments instead of doing mere lip service to Him. One who is courteous to one's guests is a great soul. One who offers them a seat is a saint. One who lacks these courtesies is either a heretic or a pagan. Now, all this is about our external conduct. One who is endowed with the two virtues of chastity and compassion would welcome even an enemy courteously. A Mahatma, or great soul, has this virtue. He welcomes anyone who calls on him, even in the dead of night. Such a person remains cheerful, even in the face of death. To observe celibacy in youth is a great thing. People usually postpone it for the old age. Those who do not meditate while young will not be able to do so in old age. As in old age, physical disabilities appear one by one, we cannot engage in meditation. One should, therefore, make a start while young. Saints have said that one who practices celibacy while young is a prophet. This is not child's play. We simply read these things and forget about them. We do not forgive others. In the absence of forgiveness, anger, jealousy, hatred, backbiting, etc. emerge. Our hearts and minds are contaminated with all such thoughts. We talk of these things and do not hesitate to slander those with whom we are angry. My master used to say, "All sensual appetites have some taste in them, but what taste comes from slandering others? If there is any, is it sweet, sour, saltish, or insipid?" Still, every family, society, and country is afflicted with this malady. A devotee who is an embodiment of forgiveness has nothing to fear. He will always greet others with love. If someone thinks ill of you, let him do that. In what way does it affect you? Instead, the former harms himself by being angry and jealous. If you retaliate, you will be afflicted likewise. One who considers that the Lord is omnipresent and is dedicated to Him is not carried away by what others may speak of Him. These are the shortcomings in our way to self-realization and God-realization. Forgiveness extinguishes the fire of anger. Great souls go to the extent of welcoming those who find fault with them. Once a man went to Lord Buddha and started abusing him. When he was about to leave, Lord Buddha said, "Brother, listen to me. If the receiver refuses to accept the gift offered to him, it remains with the giver. I refuse to accept the gift you have brought for me." And Kabir says, "If one abuses and the other retaliates, there will be a shower of abuses. But with non-retaliation, the matter will end. Where there is compassion, there is religion. Where there is greed, there is sin. Where there is anger, there is negation. Where there is forgiveness, there is the Lord Himself." Compassion leads to forgiveness, and greed leads to sin. Greed and attachment means desire for name or fame. For the fulfillment of one's desires, one becomes jealous of others. One neither becomes good nor bad by others' opinions. Those who indulge in slandering others are unpaid apprentices of the CID of God. God and the Master are both within you. One who is true to the Master has nothing to fear, for his heart is pure, and purity of heart gives added strength. One cannot realize God unless the mind is equipoised. Anger, jealousy, malice, and ill will, even in thought, fan the flames of invisible fire all around. Kabir says that at a place like this, you will find nothing but negative power. But where there is forgiveness, there is God Himself. Forgiveness washes clear all inner defilements and leads to peace of mind. Otherwise, anger would provoke anger, and accusations, counter-accusations, vitiating the entire atmosphere. All quarrels and strifes emanate from abuse. Kabir says that bad language is the root cause of all quarrels. You know how the great Mahabharata war started? Just by sarcastic words. One single sarcastic remark by Draupadi led to the destruction of Indian culture and civilization. Again, in the Gurbani we find, no power on earth can harm one who is protected by the Guru. If someone harbors in him thoughts of jealousy and hatred, they react doubly on him. This is the natural law. One noble thought gives rise to thousands of noble sentiments, and one evil thought to thousands of miseries. If you sow a single seed in the soil, the plant that sprouts will bear hundreds of similar seeds. Likewise, if you plant a mango seed, you will get hundreds of mangoes from it. One thought may produce a soothing effect, while the other may excite you. Every action, even a thought, has its reaction. The words of a vicious person are like so many arrows, but saints alone can tolerate them. If lightning falls into the sea, what damage would it do? Kabir says that malicious words are like poison darts, but a forgiver is like an ocean which is not affected even by lightning. So forgiveness is a great blessing. Kabir says that a man becomes tough by bearing external hardships. He who has prepared his ground can listen to the music of the spheres all the time. The earth can tolerate digging and the forest cutting. Only a saint can bear harsh and malicious words. You may dig the land or cut a forest and they do not resent it. Similarly, only a saint is endowed with forgiveness and chastity. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You can reap only what you sow. Actions, good or bad, bear their own fruits. We must understand these principles and implement them in life. First, a perfect master capable of imparting the experience of inner light is hard to find. Even if you find one, you cannot reach the goal without purity of life and forgiveness. If you follow and act on what I have just said, you will be liberated from the bondage of matter and mind. These virtues will bring to you the higher consciousness, and you will develop faith in the existence of God. After all, what is the purpose of worship? It is to develop firm faith in the existence of God. By self-introspection, you can see what your condition is. Learned people, moralists, and theologians generally preach to others. What is their own plight? It is well said, wanted reformers, not of others, but of themselves. We preach to others what we do not practice ourselves. The result is that all our exhortations produce little effect on others. Be true to Him who is dwelling within you. If you practice the two virtues, chastity and forgiveness, you will find that without much effort, you will attain higher consciousness, complete awakening, and perfect peace of mind. Thus, you will begin to radiate peace, harmony, and tranquility to those around you. That is the end of chapter 9, so I will stop there. I was reading from The Night is a Jungle, chapter 9, on chastity and forgiveness. Thank you, Master, for all these reminders. Amen.
And thank you, Sheila, for reading for us. There were 63 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Everybody, their great days are being chased. Still with all that, we are not chased. Reason, atmosphere is poison. The people whom we touch, they are poison. So it is better if you get the company of a good self-centered man. If not, then better leave alone. Only make the best use of the things. That's all.